Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi. Covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad, along with Robbie Falk from 24/7 Sports, give you an inside look at the Bulldogs on the field, the court, and the diamond. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Friday morning. Thanks for joining us and starting your weekend at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get your podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Oakland.
Would be a little weird.
Not Oakland, California, neither.
No, that's not right. No. Oakland, Mississippi.
That's right. Between Tremont and Bounds Crossroads.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
North Mississippi.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Wherever you are in our great state, you're looking for coffee, you can have Strange Brew every morning. You don't have to live in Starkville or Tupelo. You can just have it right there in your home. All you got to do is go to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com and order it. They'll ship it right to you. Whatever kind of coffee machine is on the front counter at your house, they got you covered at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. College Corner and collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise you're looking for. As we're getting into the spring, you need to get some new polos, new t-shirts. They've got great choices at College Corner and great prices. A lot of great sale items going on right now. Check them out at collegecornerstore.com or at either of their two locations in the Jackson area. They're in Ridgeland by Fleet Feet or Flowood by the Half Shell. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's best restaurant. You know, I can't do much more for them than that. If I'm saying that that's the best restaurant in town, what else is there to say? This weekend, if you get a chance, you want to head over to Restaurant Tyler. If you're here early today on Friday, get over there and get a lunch, best blue plate in town. Head over there this evening for some outstanding dinner. And then Sunday morning before you leave, or if you just live here and you want to go whenever you want, it's the best brunch in town. When I can tell you the best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler, no matter what time of day it is, Well, you know I'm telling the truth. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant. Priority One Bank in Central Mississippi, 16 locations to serve you. And they are all about service and serving their local communities. We say it all the time. You want to shop local, eat local. You want to bank local as well. And that's what Priority One Bank is all about. When you make a decision at Priority One Bank, those decisions get made by people at your branch. You don't have to worry about somebody going up the chain to a central bank somewhere else where somebody you don't know has to make that decision. No, it's the same people you see every week when you're in the bank branch of your choice. 16 locations across central Mississippi. Check them out online, PriorityOneBank.com. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. We can all breathe.
Ooh, barely.
Let me tell you something right now. This is going to be... I think God is looking out for me. I think he knows the old ticker is not what it used to be, and I can't take the stress of some of this stuff because we talked about baseball and how it was going to be, and if they had blown that game today,
oh,
brother, I was about to unload. And I would have been like, what can I really say because they did overachieve, but that would have been an all-time choke job.
Oh, it would have been bad.
But instead, I think we feel like dancing.
Gonna dance the night away. After the feel like dancing.
All right.
Shut up and dance with me.
There we go.
Christians is my destiny.
Wow. 69-68.
Jans will make you dance.
That's right. 69-68, a nice win for the Bulldogs.
Yes.
In overtime over the Florida Gators. A game they led by as many as 14 points in the first half.
I feel like you're trying to set up Tell 'em Falk. He almost did.
Game the Bulldogs led by 14 points in the first half. Florida chipped away at the lead, but the state continued to fight, continued to find a way, led by Tolu Smith, 28 points, 12 rebounds. What happened in Nashville? What are we gonna discuss? What are we talking about? Only one man knows the truth.
Are you really gonna go there?
T- Tell them, Falk!
Well? Is this a one-time thing? Or just like this could be a thing?
I mean,
okay.
Well, big events like this.
Why not?
Yeah, let's do it.
Why not?
Do it. I don't have things that are true, in case you're wondering.
We don't know if this is going to be a long-term thing, but we'll do it today.
We'll do it today.
Yeah, just a game that you felt like early State was going to absolutely stomp a mud hole in Florida and walk them dry. But that felt too good to be true. Even at halftime, I was thinking, something is going to happen. God is not going to allow this to be easily accessible for Mississippi State. It's just not going to happen. I do not believe that. Oh, I'm glad we just like bust into stuff sometimes and people don't know what's happening.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. So anyway, State goes up, like dominates the first half. They give up, I think, 24 points in the first half. Yeah. They scored 2 points in like 8 minutes. Florida did. But it felt like, didn't it feel like during that stretch, you extended the lead, but didn't it feel like State had missed an opportunity there?
Oh, State could have been up easily 20 points.
Yeah.
Easily.
No Colin Castleton was a problem for Florida.
Tolu Smith, said it would be.
Yeah, Tolu Smith was having his way down there. He was missing shots. He was missing free throws. But you felt like he was constantly getting good looks under there. It was eventually going to start coming. And it did in the second half. But the problem was State just could not manufacture offense anyway. I don't know what was going on there, but they could not make shots. They missed so many shots around the rim. They were turning the ball over, bad turnovers. They were missing free throws. It just felt like, you know, every time we see that in basketball, when you have those opportunities, it seems like it always comes back to haunt you. And it almost did for Mississippi State. 14-point lead. That quickly was erased. They were up by 10 at halftime. That quickly was erased in the second half. And Florida actually took the lead in the second half. And it looked like State was kind of falling apart there. Again, though, this team is just different than what we've seen in the past. I mean, this is not going to be, in my opinion, this is not going to be one of Chris Jans' most talented or best teams.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's got a lot more on the way. In the form of, you know, consistency on the offensive end and being able to score in bunches.
Josh Hubbard, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Anyway. But this team just struggles with it. But give them credit again. I mean, they don't let something just completely overwhelm them. They always seem to kind of figure it out and find a way. And as frustrating as this game was, it's basically the culmination of the whole season for Mississippi State. They just found a way to win. They were up by 7 in overtime and still found themselves down in the last 30 seconds. But they found a way. Tolu Smith was incredible. Didn't have his best game, but just fighting through some adversity in that game. Missing free throws. He started, I think, 2-for-10 or something from the field. Mm-hmm. Ended up having a career high for the second straight game in points. Another double-double. He proved why he is a first-team All-SEC guy. He took over the ball game. He put Mississippi State on his back. They win, and it looks like they're in the NCAA tournament. I would be shocked if they aren't.
I would go a step further with Tolu and say, I mean, he doesn't really have anything around him. I mean, okay, other guys step up and get double-digit. Shaq Moore had 13 today. Deshaun Davis has had a game here or there.
But Shaq had like 11 in the first 8 minutes.
There's no consistency behind him.
Mm-mm.
You never know who's going to show up for you the rest of the way. Cam Matthews only 2 points today. DJ Jeffries only 4 points today.
Deshaun Davis
had nine and had 8 assists.
He was great.
Got the ball
in
there.
The second half passing.
Yeah. But he really drugged this team to victory.
DJ Jeffries wasn't good.
Yeah. He really did.
He was okay on defense.
Yeah, he was okay. And then just the way that they played throughout the game. I mean, Tolu was 9 of 19 from the field.
Mm-hmm.
I'll guarantee every one of his misses was within 3 feet of the bucket.
But like I said, I think he was like
a ton of. He could have had 40 today.
I'm almost positive he was 2-for-10. So that means he ended the game 7 of 9.
Let's look at the first half. In the first half, he was 2 of 8.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, without going back,
I remember when he scored a basket. I remember them showing under the at the bottom of the screen on the score bug or whatever that he was 3-for-11.
Yeah.
And that was after he made a shot. So he started the game 2-for-10, which means he ended the game 7-for-9.
Yeah.
And he really just kind of took over.
And 3 of 3 in overtime.
Yeah.
That's the key. And 1 of 1 from the free throw line.
Still kind of struggled from the line, but that is what it is. He got their big guy in foul trouble. I thought that was
big.
That was big. Although they seem to have done better when they went smaller. But
that's true. When they were running and really being active on defense, that's how they got back into the game. Did Florida?
Looks like the Florida team of old with Billy Donovan, doesn't it? Like they live and die by the three.
Live and die by the three. And they were 8 of 35 today.
Yeah.
What I said on the show today was that this is how the game probably should have gone at Nashville, mm-hmm. but Vanderbilt made their threes.
Yeah.
And Florida did not. So. Just a huge win for Mississippi State. And now all the models seem to indicate that they're in the field of 64, mm-hmm. not the field of 68. The first four, the Dayton date is out.
And that's where you want to be.
You want to be in the field. The bracketology, which was last updated, let me see if I can find it here. The last one that I have here was updated at, it's been updated since. So it's been updated at 7 p.m. Central. Mississippi State still in the last four byes. The 11 seed in the South Regional playing in Denver against St. Mary's. Now, that's an interesting matchup. St. Mary's is a very good basketball team, very fundamentally sound.
Yeah.
But athletically, State would have a big advantage in that game. If State were to win that game, they would play the winner of Kansas State, UC Irvine in the 3-6 game. And they would be in the South Regional, which is Alabama's region, where they're playing in Birmingham the first game. And, of course, what's interesting is, excuse me.
Where's the Sweet 16 for that?
Louisville.
Manageable drive.
Yeah. What's interesting about that is State obviously plays Alabama today.
Mm-hmm.
And, a win would be monstrous. But at the same time, and you, I think you tweeted about this, you don't really want to go up to be a 9 seed.
No. You don't want to be 8-9.
A 10 seed is fine. But you don't want to be the 8-9 and have to play the 1.
Can they jump that high? Can they move to a 9, you think?
If they beat Alabama, that would be a massive win for their net.
I think you're talking about like 8 and 9 is going to be like if you make it to the championship. Like if you make it to the championship, you probably have worked your way into a 9 maybe.
They don't update at that point. Rankings during the day, do they? Now,
if State won it all, mm-hmm. they would be like an 8. And that's a bad spot.
You don't want
to
be an 8. Yeah. And at that point they would change regionals on you because they would not want to put two SEC teams in the second round against each other.
Right.
You'd probably move over to like the West region and have to play UCLA.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
who would Ben Howland root for?
Yeah, that's UCLA
that's
probably.
Just two phenomenal
teams. He's an LA guy.
But at the same time, all his guys are still on the team.
Well, like three or four of his
Tolu,
guys.
Tolu, Jeffrey, Cam.
Kamani Hamilton, I guess.
Some of the recruits, obviously. And I'm thinking there's somebody I'm missing. I don't know.
Anyway. For the most part, I mean, this team's fairly new.
Yeah.
Part of me says, like, this would be a good game because I still feel like, as much as we're saying, like, you know, State is locked in or whatever, I just don't trust this committee. After what we saw last, I hate to compare Texas A&M to this situation, mm-hmm. but it is in some ways it is a little similar. I mean, State played a much tougher non-conference schedule than they mm-hmm. did a year ago, but we all thought that A&M was locked,
mm-hmm.
and they even made a run late in the season, and it didn't mean anything. You know, right. State's won what 9 out of 12?
9 out of 12? No, 9 out of 12. Yeah, you're right.
It's a hot team. It's a team playing really good basketball late in the season.
Mm-hmm.
And the resume says that they're an NCAA tournament team. The eye test says they're an NCAA tournament team.
Mm-hmm.
But you're talking about a group of people that are making a decision here. I think they're safely in. But wouldn't you feel a little better if you got this win?
I mean, if you got that win, you would be no doubt.
There's no
about
way
it.
You can. What was this? This was a quad two, right?
Mm-hmm.
So tomorrow's quad one, no matter what.
Yeah, yeah.
But
because Alabama's the number two team in the net,
losing to Bama is not going to hurt you at all.
Doesn't hurt it. State can play loose. So what helps State a lot, and I'd have to go back and look at Texas A&M from a year ago. I don't know their resume, but that Marquette win is just so big for State. That's a top ten
and
team.
Them surviving is what I mean. Marquette was struggling with St. John's today. Mm-hmm. Them winning that game was big.
Utah has dropped down to a quad two win for Mississippi State. They're all the way down to 80 in the net, and
they haven't helped. I think their
season is over.
But it didn't hurt them though. But it just takes
a quad two win. It's still a quality win. And then obviously TCU is still a quad one win. I say that, Robbie.
What did they do?
TCU is down to 29 in the net. It'd be top 30, right? Top 30 at home. I'm pretty sure I'm right about that.
Yeah, I think that's right.
So let's see what's going on with TCU.
Through 30.
They play tonight against Kansas State. State could probably use them to win that game. That would not be good.
That's going to be a tough game.
Yeah, that will be a tough game. I mean, Kansas State's a 3 seed. They're the higher seed.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens to TCU. And then obviously you have Arkansas. That's not going anywhere. And then what's the other quad one for State?
I don't think State's net is going to move much in a negative way.
Shouldn't. Like tomorrow, they're 46 right this second. When we wake up tomorrow morning, they should be 43. If they beat Alabama, they might go to like 38, 37. And then you could be a 9 seed at that point.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
I don't know if they'll move.
But at the same time, I think you would trade. Okay, we might have to play the 1-4. We are safely locked in, no questions asked at this point.
Yeah,
I still think they're locked in.
Well, I mean, here's the thing with this team. You're kind of playing with house money when you get in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
I don't think that anybody expects this team to win a national championship.
If they go out in the first round, it doesn't matter.
No, nobody cares.
It's still a huge success.
It's just about getting in. So, do what you can to get in and worry about the matchups later, which I still think that this team can compete with just about any team in the country. We've seen them compete with Alabama, and that's a team that's been ranked number one a good portion of the season. My expectations for this team isn't for them to make this huge run in this tournament. But, I mean, it would be nice to get a nice draw and try to make as much of a run as possible. And, of course, that's the goal for this team. But I just want to see this team get the tournament. They deserve it. They went through a rough patch. They had one of the toughest starts to an SEC schedule I can remember for a Mississippi State team. Mm-hmm. And struggled, rightfully so. And they've come out of that after starting 1-7. They've come out of there and won 9 out of 12 games in year one under Chris Jans. This team deserves it. And I know a lot of people were kind of upset with the play that this team had on Thursday, but they are what they are.
Yeah.
This is not a beauty contest with this team.
Never is.
There's a reason that, John Rothstein and these people were talking about, Chris Jans is the dentist. It's not pretty.
Yeah.
We haven't seen very many games from Mississippi State this year that have been pretty.
Right.
It's been ugly just about every time, but that's how they play.
Mm-hmm.
That it is what it is. Just win games.
You just have
games.
To be used to it at this point.
Nobody cares about the style points.
Exactly.
Just win games.
All that matters is, did you change the number on the left or on the right?
Yep.
And that's all that matters. Somebody, Borky actually said, they don't put pictures on the scorecard.
No.
Simple as that. So
they just, at the end of the day, Mississippi State is, 21-10?
10. Yeah.
And looks to be in good shape of going to the NCAA tournament in year one under Chris Jans in a season that preseason we were saying, just get to the NIT.
Yep.
And that's all that matters right now.
There you go. All right, let's move on into the rest of the show that's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. This weekend, if you're firing up the grill, throw some beef on there. Throw a couple of steaks on there. Throw yourself a big pile of burgers. Or if you're going big, a brisket. I'll tell you another thing. This is a great thing to smoke, and it's not that expensive, is a chuck roast. That is, they call it the poor man's brisket. It takes about as long to smoke as a brisket. It's got a lot to break down, but man, good.
Or make you a Mississippi pot roast.
That is the easiest recipe on the earth. The Malcolm Reed
and one of the most delicious
Mississippi pot roast. It's just so easy. A couple hours of smoke, then wrap it up with the ingredients and walk away. Come back 3 hours later, and you got a pile of meat that feed a whole family. That, some mashed potatoes, that'll set you right, as they like to say. Head over to your local grocery stores and your butcher shops. Talk to the guys there and get some great deals and some great products. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. Robbie and I did indeed dine there on Wednesday. And we had beef as well. We had the delicious. We want to, if you're listening, Terry Barton, we want to talk about calling the prime rib sandwich the Thunder and Lightning prime rib sandwich. Now, here's the thing. You're going to call it that, and everybody's going to be thinking it's about Will Clark and Rafael Palmeiro. But we'll know.
Put in the description, this is Robbie Faulk and Brian Haydad's favorite sandwich.
This is Brian Haydad and Robbie Faulk's favorite sandwich.
Well, I said it first. I made the description first.
That sandwich is killer. You definitely need to check it out.
I just ate it the other day. You did too.
I did. It's incredible.
You took a few things off the sandwich. I left it as is.
You left it as is. I'm a meat and cheese only
kind of guy. It was delicious. But I had pork rinds with mine.
I had the pork belly mac and cheese. I mean, you see what I'm saying, folks? Get the Two Brothers. You a prime rib sandwich. Life will be good. Great products, great service. It's what every business likes to promise you, but Advantage Business Systems delivers it to you, and they have been for 48 years. When you need technology for your business, call Advantage Business Systems. When you need service, call them back. Don't deal with a big box store when we're talking about, okay, you're going to call this overseas call center, and they're going to transfer you to this out-of-state consultant, and you got to make an appointment with him. No, skip all that. Talk to somebody here in the state of Mississippi, and hey, their message to you is probably going to be like, yeah, I'll be there tomorrow. Sometimes it's going to be, I can be there this afternoon. Your business can't afford to wait. That's why you want to deal with a local people like Advantage Business Systems. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems helps your business do business. The Rogue and the Collegiate Collection at The Rogue, they've got the pullovers and polos you want to see. Great quality products, name brands, and they have the logos that you want. No more garish.
Garish.
Banner M taking up 3/4 of the left side of a shirt with, you know, maroon piping on the one sleeve and white on the... No! No! How about just a nice, simple maroon polo with a white state script? How about a nice, simple white polo with a maroon M over S? Makes sense to me, but what do I know? I'm just an unfrozen caveman. So...
Your ways confuse me.
Your Banner M's. So... Head over to The Rogue in Jackson. Shop online at therogue.com. Don't live the three-stripe life. Shop at The Rogue.
The unfrozen caveman lawyer recognized Mississippi State immediately when he saw the state script. That's all I'm saying.
That's true. It's a true story.
And he was frozen for 3 million years.
Exactly. Head over to this weekend, a spot to the ladies. We don't normally cater to the ladies on the show. We're kind of male-centric.
We should, because I've heard so many different ladies mention that they listen to the show.
Hello, ladies.
Hello, ladies.
All right. Stop. I need to put that on the end
of
the show.
That's going to be the end of the show.
So, I'm just telling you, though, the place you want to hang out this weekend is Luva, the wine room at 509 University Drive, right next to Dolce. An incredible wine list, maybe the biggest wine list in the Golden Triangle, if I'm not mistaken. And it's hand curated. This isn't they just pick some wines out of, you know, Wine Spectator or whatever it is people read. They got a sommelier in there, and they have a wine program happening. So check that out. Great cocktails, and for food, incredible flatbreads, and I love charcuterie. Mm. If there's just a plate full of cured meat, I will eat
it.
Yes. So
sausage and cheese board too.
Yeah, that's good what we're stuff. Talking about, stuff like that. So open Wednesday through Friday at 5, open Saturday at 4. You can make reservations by messaging their Facebook page or on Instagram at Luva Wine Room. Stop to see what others have already discovered. Luva Wine Room.
And I rode by there. We were leaving supper on Thursday night,
mm-hmm.
You and I.
I
eat out with you more than I do my own family.
We are family.
It just looks like a really cool atmosphere. I mean, they have a little outside, like a little outdoor fire.
So this is what I would say. I'm old, all right? The days of me wanting to hear really loud music at the bar and all that, I'm done with that. I want to be able to sit in a comfortable chair, enjoy my drink, be able to hear conversation happening around me.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want. Eat a charcuterie board. That location provides that for me.
Yeah, so. Just a really cool looking spot.
There you go.
Go check it out.
You know what else is cool? 4-star quarterbacks. Way to be impressive with your first commitment for the 2024 class. Mississippi State announced, or not announces, Mississippi State doesn't, but the announcement of Josh Flowers, 6'2", 205-pound quarterback from Mobile, Alabama, four-star quarterback, rated the number 21 quarterback in the country by 24, I'm sorry, number 18 quarterback in the country by 24/7 Sports. Zach Arnett has gone into Alabama and gotten a quarterback that had an offer from Alabama.
Alabama.
Also, Arkansas, Florida, Indiana, NC State, Texas A&M.
Now, it's likely that he did not have a committable offer from Alabama.
Why would you do this?
I want to be realistic.
Everybody, there's a bucket of water, Robbie Faulk. Here he comes.
Just let me be realistic.
All right.
But the fact that this is what I'm talking about with these kids, the fact that Alabama had identified this guy and felt he was good enough to at least throw out this offer to tells you you're on the right people.
I bet his offer to A&M is committable.
Very well could be.
Because, I mean, they've got the Maddox kid.
If Anthony Maddox's offer is committable, who I think is a good player, but I don't think he's as good as this kid.
Right.
Then that offer was committable as well.
So,
but reading, I don't know anything about this kid from a personality standpoint. Yesterday, whenever I was talking to Paul Jones about him before all that stuff was public, I had no clue who he was.
Right.
In a lot of ways, I'm removed from football recruiting because you got Paul and then Steve covers it some. I just don't cover football recruiting that much, but I follow it just like everybody else. And reading some of the quotes and some of the things from this article that Steve Wiltfong put out, Mississippi State just did a great job recruiting this kid. He talked about, and I think his high school coach was in there as well in that article. You can go check it out on our website. He talked about the job that Mississippi State did recruiting him, building the relationship. When he came to campus, they made him feel like a five-star recruit, treated his family well, and specifically mentioning Steve Campbell and Joey Jones really stood out to me.
Yeah.
Because those are two guys that, you know, the common fan is not really thinking about.
Right.
We thought that those were good hires for Mississippi State coming in, but I didn't really know from a recruiting standpoint what kind of impact that they would make. The fact that a four-star quarterback that has a lot of Power 5 offers is mentioning that, whether directly or indirectly or whatever, to his coach or however it's being brought up, that's a pretty big deal to me.
Yeah.
That immediately those guys have been here for, you know, month and a half, and they've already made that kind of difference. And by the way, coming from a very similar background as where they were in Mobile. So I think they had a lot to do with the evaluation and the relationship building. So give them a big hat tip. Give Kevin Barbet a hat tip on it as well, because another part of that story that really stood out, they sat him down and started clipping some of his film and also showing him clips of Dak Prescott when he was here.
That's brilliant.
Brilliant. Hey, we can use you a lot like the
Dallas
quarterback.
Needs to be done for the next 10 years.
Yeah, the Dallas Cowboys quarterback. The guy who is a legend
here's
here.
Here's you doing this, and here's he doing the exact same thing here at Mississippi
right.
State. Yeah.
So the job that they did in this recruitment was fantastic.
And Paul Jones, first, let me talk to you about this. Let me talk to you. I texted Paul, because Paul said that he had an idea. It started with this. It started with Arnett tweeting the video that he of him going crazy, right?
Yes. I love that, by the way, as a new commitment.
So I texted MSU SID Brandon Langlois, and I said, you need to tell Arnett that needs to be when you get a commitment, that's what he needs to tweet. And he just sat back, well, how do you know it wasn't?
Ooh.
And I was like, ooh. So I text Paul, because that's what I do, you know? I was like, hey. Because whenever I hear a commitment's coming, I immediately like do a Twitter search for at Hail State whatever,
yep,
and commit it, and I couldn't find anything. So I'm like, do you know who this is? He's like, I'm looking. And then he texts me back, or then he puts on his message board, he's like, I found out who it is, but they want to wait till later.
It took Paul a while to figure this out.
Well, then Steve Wiltfong, from 24/7 Sports, a national recruiting guy, comes on the MSU board where he is kind of persona non grata.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, big commitment coming, basically. And so I text Paul back. I'm like, what is going on that Wilt Fong? And he's like, okay, it's somebody else. It's different than the one that I know about.
Yeah.
And then he kicks back. He's like, oh, it is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
And so Paul, you know, Paul not giving me, you know, because, and I respect that because it's Paul's story to break. He's the recruiting guy. And, yeah, I mean, this is a commitment that got national attention. I mean, the 24/7's recruiting show talked about it today. Wilt Fong was talking about it today, wrote an article about it. Pretty impressive job of recruiting by the staff. And that's your first guy? That's pretty good, you know.
And now, you like to get those quarterbacks in early.
They are what everybody think you build around, yep. You know. And there's been a lot of talk about Trey Petty here in Starkville.
Right.
Could still see him in this class if State wants to do two quarterbacks. I don't know, and I don't know if Petty wants to be part of a two-quarterback class, but at the end of the day, you couldn't turn down the kind of talent that Josh Flowers was going to offer you. So
yeah, I mean, I love Trey Petty. I've known Trey Petty for several years now. Everybody knows how I feel about Starkville High School.
Mm-hmm.
But the opportunity to get a guy like this, you just can't. You can't turn it down just for Trey Petty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to do what you feel like is best.
Right.
And that's what was best for Mississippi State.
You were at practice earlier today. You got a chance to talk to Zach Arnett. What did he have to say?
He called me a bumbling idiot.
Did he really?
No, he didn't.
That's a shame.
God, he was in a good mood today. I don't know what happened for him. I don't know if he had steak for lunch. From you know, shout out to the Mississippi Beef Council. I don't know. But he was in a tremendous mood today. Stopped over in the middle of practice, chatted up with some of us. Was having just a great time, joked with us a little bit, didn't take any jabs at me or anything like that.
That's nice.
But he was, you know, I asked him, you know, just you know, his thoughts on kind of taking over, you know, the first few days of practice, being the head guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he got asked about, you know, leaning on some of these veteran coaches, and I continue to be just so impressed with the humility that he has to say, basically, you know, I don't know everything. These guys are teaching me something new every day. I'm leaning on these guys heavily. You know, he you know, talked about the job Matt Brock's doing, the job that Kevin Barbet's doing. Just seems like he's a guy that is really kind of even keel. What was the first practice Tuesday?
Yeah.
Was very, I don't know if it was because of the first practice or what, but he was intense that day. This practice felt a little different. He was out there running quarterback, scout team quarterback for a little bit, kind of just giving the defense a certain look and running the read, things like that. It was just kind of a fun day of practice for him. So I thought he was in a relatively good mood for the most part.
Yeah.
He's having fun out there. I mean, this is.
I think being the head man, yeah,
you know, loosen him up.
Well,
a little
I think you're going to see a little different person, which you should. Coordinators are going to be different than the head coach, you
yeah.
know, because the head coach has to be the face of things.
Yeah,
you know, and if you're just a miserable jerk, you know, people. Yeah, Saban can do that because of his reputation, right?
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays, you need to be, you know, a little more friendly. So and the thing is with Saban is like he can be friendly. Here sometimes that guy's hilarious.
Yeah,
but you know you got to. I think it's all about finding a balance. It's all about that balance. And
he
I think
is.
You'll find that.
That's what I was gonna say. Is he is very balanced. He's not a guy that is always gonna be like, you know, just jumping down your throat.
Yeah.
Or anything like that. He's also not gonna be the you know I'm your best friend. I get the feeling that these players respect him
mm-hmm.
a lot. But they also kind of get him, you know, and he gets them and they get him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he can jump down your throat every right. now and then, and he can be a little harsh at times.
Mm-hmm.
But he can also he gets that respect level of being a you know former player and being a guy that relates to the kids. You know, I mean, it just seems like he's got that balance. And it remains to be seen, you know, if that turns into success for Mississippi State. But so far, I'm really impressed with Zach Arnett.
Let's finish up with some baseball talk. Not a whole lot of preview I want to do about this series with Lipscomb. I know Lipscomb gave Auburn a pretty good challenge last week, but they still got swept. And so State should be able to do the same. If they don't, I'm going to...
Should.
A return to TBD on Saturday. I don't think that means... I think that means for sure it's not Aintema, because if it's Aintema, they would just start him.
Can't.
I think it feels to me, and this is just my gut feeling here, that they're going to see how Cade Smith feels on Saturday.
Yeah.
And if he can go, he'll start, and if not, they'll figure it out.
Could be.
And then who if it's not Cade Smith, who would it be? Who's your
Nate
first
Dome?
Thought? That's an interesting thought. See, if I'm in that situation, I'm just going to go ahead and start Nate Dome.
Yeah. And I get the feel that might be the case. It might be somebody that they really don't know right now.
Yeah.
And I feel like they haven't been scared to just throw guys in there, so I don't think it's like a situation where they're trying to get one up on Lipscomb or anything like that.
Yeah.
Like,
this isn't head games. No.
They've thrown Gerangelo head games. They've thrown Gerangelo out there in the rotation.
And he gets the Friday night start again, as he should.
Yes. So I don't think it's anything like, they're trying to play games here or anything like that. They might just really not know right now, which is interesting.
Yeah.
But I don't know what's going to happen, man. I mean, I think I would go with Nate Dome. I would think I would push him into the rotation.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of one of those things, too. Like, you don't feel good about anybody in the bullpen
now. I would put Nate Dome into the rotation right now if I knew Aaron Nixon was good to go. If he's good to go, I feel okay.
And what do you do? Like, say that Gerangelo maintains some consistency.
Mm-hmm.
Nate Dome somehow gets into the rotation.
Yeah. And you know what
good.
You got with Gartman.
Gartman is what he is. What do you do with Cade Smith? He's a long relief?
He'd be a long relief guy, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, just tell him, like, that's the way it turned out. We got to do it. You can't, because if you start winning, you can't change things.
Yeah.
So
I really feel like things could turn for Mississippi State in a good way if they're able to get, Pico, Cade Smith.
We haven't seen Pico Khan yet.
No. And these guys are guys that, I think really significantly, if they're on their game, significantly change the season for Mississippi State.
Yeah.
And, they're going to be pretty well rested. Aaron Nixon's pitched one inning.
Yeah.
Pico has pitched
zero.
Not at all.
Yeah.
And, Cade Smith is not, he's labored a little bit, but he's only pitched in two games.
Yeah.
He's
thrown six innings.
Yeah. These guys are going to be well rested.
Yeah.
And it's almost like you're picking up free agents in the middle of the season.
There's something to that, yeah.
Coming into the SEC. So it's you got a chance here to make something happen. But it's got to happen for Mississippi State. They got to find some guys that are reliable, that are going to give them good innings. And I think you put the best three in the rotation and try to get the best start possible in all three games and then piece it together.
I agree with you 100%. And I would probably, like I said, if Nixon's good to go, I would go ahead and make Dome the starter on Saturday and figure it out from there.
Yeah.
One last thing before we go. I know you're a music guy, so. I know a lot of people politically don't agree with Jamie Lee Curtis, but what she said yesterday makes a lot of sense.
I saw that.
Did you see this?
Yeah.
Why are there no matinees? I'm not going to go see Coldplay if they start their show at 9 and there's an opening act. I want to hear Coldplay at 1 p.m. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why aren't there afternoon concerts?
Well, there are. They're festivals.
But even then, you got to you're there for like all day,
especially if it's like a Saturday.
If you told me like this, I'm going to see the Foo Fighters in June.
Yeah,
and I'm sure that show is like at 7 or 8. Without looking, I don't know. But if you told me that thing was like at noon, I know noon in June would be.
Yeah, that'd suck in the amphitheater.
It's gonna be hot either way.
You will be sweating
either way
that night. Yeah, it'd be very humid.
So why not just have it and then I can go home, take a shower, go get dressed, go to dinner. Go get some drinks, and then I'm in bed at a reasonable hour.
I don't know who made those rules.
The first musical act that does this, I will support them. I don't care what kind of music it is.
You have weekend matinees.
Yeah.
Movies.
Yeah.
And, there's some movie theaters that have matinees, like, all week.
Yeah.
I know Starkville's movie theater sometimes does that.
They have afternoon shows, yeah.
This makes sense.
It makes too much sense.
I start getting, especially now, like I start getting a little tired at these concerts. Like they start at like 10 p.m.
I went to see Garth Brooks. By the end of that, I was like, I'm so ready to go home.
I was in college.
Like, please stop playing Garth. I'm enjoying the show. It's great.
Yeah.
But I really want to go home.
I was in college. Snoop Dogg came to Rick's, and he went on at like midnight.
Yeah.
And it was like, guys, this is, I was getting tired.
Yeah.
And I was in college. And he came out and played like three songs and he was gone.
Yeah. Shout out to Jamie Lee Curtis. Good stuff.
She's a queen.
Yeah. All right. We're back on Sunday. After we'll have to record, obviously, after the selection show. We'll tell you where Mississippi State is headed. And we'll recap baseball. And maybe, who knows, maybe some recruits are going to start coming in now. So maybe we'll have another one to talk about as well. Guys, have a great weekend. We'll be back with you on Sunday for Robbie Falk. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.